praise is due to Allah the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. This is Nadia joining you from behind the microphone in the Tuam FM studios for a new episode of Community Connect via 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. So good afternoon to you and welcome to the show. In today's episode, I'll be addressing some icky news just in time for pool season, a public health warning concerning the spread of crypto in swimming pools following a spate of reported cases. What lies beneath the sparkling, inviting surface of the water is something we wouldn't rather think about. As well as being good for your health, encouraging you to exercise and de-stress, swimming pools are a major source of gastrointestinal illness. Luckily, there are precautions you can take to make sure you don't add yourself to that number. So keep an ear out today for the recommendations from New South Wales Health to avoid contaminating pools and splash parks. Also, there's a new legislation soon to be introduced by the federal government concerning casual workers. It may be regarded as positive news for some, but negative for others. And the new life-changing and potentially life-saving scheme that will help patients fight their deadly eating disorders like anorexia and bulimia. Finally, the tense waiting game that is almost over for HSC students. When will their results be published and how will they be able to access their results online? All will be revealed on today's instalment of Community Connect via 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. Welcome back to Community Connect via 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. As the weather warms up with the arrival of summer, the pool quite obviously becomes the preferred place for many of us. And while a lot of us don't actually own a pool at home, we opt to go to public pools instead, which sadly can actually come at a cost. What cost is that? Well, you potentially can become exposed to a diarrhea-causing infection, causing you to become really sick. That's exactly why New South Wales health authorities have once again issued a public pool warning concerning the most common recreational water illness. The good news is that you can take precautions to guard yourself against the infection. And the bad news is that you probably just heard this right around dinner time. Sorry about that. I'm not exactly sure if you've realised, but this particular warning literally gets released by the Centres for Disease Control and Prevention every single year because, well, hardly anyone listens. According to a 2018 report from the CDC, more than 27,000 people, yes, 27,000 people have actually gotten sick from pools, hot tubs and even splash pads. And it's no wonder that the rate of people getting sick from pools is so high. A staggering number of people simply don't follow the simple guideline, the straightforward rule of not going swimming or allowing children with diarrhea to swim in a pool for at least 2 weeks after diarrhea resolves. And that's the recurring message that is reiterated every single summer, because some people just don't get it or simply don't care. It's simple. To protect the health of others, do not swim when you have diarrhea. It's basic, because microscopic amounts of infected fecal matter can pretty much contaminate an entire pool or hot tub and make others sick if they swallow the water. And if you think about it, you and I might not swallow water when we're in the pool. But guess who will? Children. That's right. Kids are more likely to drink water that has been contaminated by germs that cause diarrhea. And all it takes is swallowing a tiny amount to cause you to become infected. And these germs can be transmitted anytime. Someone who's sick with diarrhea or has been sick in the last 2 weeks enters the water. And there always seems to be an outbreak of this disease, particularly during this time of year. The largest outbreak was in fact in 1998, when more than 1,000 people were struck down. Cryptosporidium, crypto for short, is the most common cause of pool-related diarrhea outbreaks, and it can actually stay active for days, even in pools that are treated properly with chlorine and other chemicals. And that's why public pools require you to take a shower before you take a dip. That's why public pools have showers available, and it's not just so you can rinse off the chlorine when you get out. Taking the extra step to, I guess, rinse yourself down before you get into the pool, even just for a single minute, can wash away a majority of the dirt and bacteria that you'd otherwise be introducing to the water. So there are quite a number of specific recommendations that New South Wales Health have issued in relation to swimming in public pools or even in your own pool for that matter. The first recommendation by the New South Wales Health is don't swim or allow children with diarrhea to swim in a pool for at least 2 weeks after diarrhea resolves. The second recommendation is to take children on bathroom breaks often. The third recommendation, ensure children who are not toilet trained wear waterproof tight-fitting pants over swimmers. And that's to ensure that they don't defecate or urinate in the water. Also, change nappies in a bathroom and not at the poolside because germs can spread to surfaces or objects in and around the pool, and this is where illness can actually spread. Another recommendation by New South Wales Health is to wash children thoroughly, especially on the bottom, with soap and water before going swimming. And finally, wash hands with soap and water after changing a child's nappy. So those are the simple, straightforward guidelines issued by New South Wales Health, which I'm very sure that each and every one of you practices these specific procedures already. And that's to ensure that we reduce the risk of infection and diseases spreading. So it's really important for all of us to have some common courtesy this summer. Stay clear of the pool for at least 2 weeks. The next time you have diarrhea, it's really probably a good idea to think twice before plunging into a public swimming pool so you don't take home more than a summer tan and sand between your toes. The federal government is working on a plan to introduce new laws to help casual workers obtain a full-time position by their employer. So basically, this plan would benefit casual workers who have been with an employer for more than a year, because they will have the ability, they will be able to request a permanent position after 12 months in the job, and will also potentially have the power to take legal action if their bosses refuse to give them part-time or full-time work without a good reason. The thing is, an employer can actually refuse the request made, but they would need to have reasonable business grounds for doing so. The thing is that apparently for about a year now, 1.5 million casual workers already have this particular entitlement. But the government is actually trying to grant these entitlements to the other half who don't. So basically, Labor and the unions have been voicing their concerns for quite a long time now, really arguing that something needs to be done about the casualisation of the workforce. So the government will aim to legislate the changes before the next federal election due in May. And this particular legislation or plan has really ignited a rocky debate amongst casual workers. It's somewhat positive for some and negative for others. I mean, we all wonder how this would actually pan out. Would this mean that casual staff members will be fired before they reach the one-year mark? Many people also have the concern that they would be sacked after requesting a part-time or full-time position, or they would be fired after that 12-year mark. That's another concern that many people have made. Also, there are a lot of casual workers who, I guess, prefer to remain casual because they're happy with the hours they get, they receive really good pay, and that pretty much compensates for the lack of annual and sick leave. But then again, there are others who feel like they need to be in a much more stable position, employment-wise and financially in a sense. Maybe because they would less likely be sacked if they have a permanent position. I mean, how would this affect teenagers with casual jobs, for instance? Many have actually revealed concerns about potentially losing their hours to the people who will be demanding permanent positions. So again, it's a risk of losing the job. And it really depends on perhaps the amount of hours and pay you get given for working as a casual employee versus hours and pay you are given as a permanent part-time employee, for instance. So a person wouldn't want to afford losing, let's say, $6 an hour just to go part-time. So this might be good for some, but not so good for others. So if you're a casual worker and have concerns about this particular legislation coming into practice next year, then let us know by sending through a message on WhatsApp 0410 830 930. Provide your response, provide your feedback about what you think regarding this matter. And welcome back to Community Connect, broadcasting live on 92.1 FM Muslim Community Radio. Pleasure to be back with you. Disorders. How much do we know about them? How many people do we know of who are dealing with issues involving their body image? Well, with a million sufferers nationwide, some as young as seven, eating disorders deserve to be taken seriously because they're serious, they're life-threatening and deadly, and even more so, the silence surrounding them. What's really sad to discover is that, in fact, the deadliest health condition in Australia is basically eating disorders, and it has one of the highest death rates among any psychiatric illness, with suicide being the leading cause of death among these patients. Just recently, a grieving mother lost her daughter to an eating disorder, which prompted the federal government to do something about it once and for all. It was reported that Fiona Ryan spent five long years trying to save her daughter's life without much help from the healthcare system. She and her husband would sit with her daughter Tessa every single day, persuading her to eat, checking her pockets and sleeves for hidden food, looking under her tongue for that last hidden piece of toast. Fiona slept in the bed next to her daughter to make sure she wasn't waking up to exercise. She took long amounts of leave without pay, and she watched her family go into debt as they battled to keep Tessa alive. And on one desperate day, Fiona stood crying in an emergency room for 5 hours. 5 hours until someone responded to her pleas for help. But it was too late for Tessa, who at the age of 17 committed suicide after battling an eating disorder for 5 years. Fiona, along with thousands of others, have been tirelessly advocating for much-needed change. For that reason, the Morrison government recently announced that every Australian who is diagnosed with a severe and crippling eating disorder like anorexia and bulimia will soon have access to a comprehensive treatment plan under Medicare for the first time. And that will cost $110.7 million over 4 years and includes up to 40 Medicare-funded psychological services a year and up to 20 Medicare-funded dietetic services from November next year. Now, many are arguing that a 12-month wait is too long, but it will be worth the wait. The Health Minister Greg Hunt said that the program would be introduced and funded no matter who was in government after next year's election, because it was a Medicare item. So really good news, which will be of considerable relief to so many people out there, including the family of sufferers who pretty much have to go through the torment and I guess the nightmare of watching their loved one deteriorate and live in agony. Not only can an eating disorder be mentally crippling, but also financially crippling, you know, having to regularly seek psychiatric care. Because treating an eating disorder is an incredibly lengthy process. It could take many years until the person is relieved of that illness. So it gives families more options in the battle against this terrible mental health condition. And that's why it's really important for all of us to share this news with families who you think could really benefit from this, because it really could be life-saving. It will truly make a tremendously huge impact on the lives of sufferers, their families, and friends. So how did this news make you feel? Would this be something you or your family are in great need of? Share your thoughts with us by sending through your messages on 0410 830 930. Well, the wait is almost over for Year 12 students. You know what I'm talking about? Those who are both excitedly and anxiously awaiting the reveal of their HSC results and ATAR. Boy, do I remember that feeling. After months of studying, taking practice tests, and finishing their exams, the hard work will have finally paid off for New South Wales students. HSC results will be delivered this week. Yes, this week. And it will be delivered via email and text message from 6 a.m. this Thursday, 13th of December, 2018. I know for many of you, waking up at 6 a.m. is not something you would do during the school holidays or summer holidays for that matter, but it will be the case this Thursday. From 6 a.m., you will be able to access your HSC results. So in addition to being able to access your HSC results via email and text message, you will also be able to access your results on this day by logging into your student's online account. As for the rank or the number you've been waiting for, the 2018 New South Wales ATARs, they will be released on the UAC website and the MyUAC app from 9 a.m. on Friday, 14th of December 2018. So this Friday at 9 a.m, 14th of December 2018, all you HSC students who've been waiting nervously and anxiously can find out what your ATAR will be. Some of you will be shedding happy tears, and for others, well, not so happy tears. They will be very sad tears, but nevertheless, do not despair. Do not let that number put you down. I'm sure many of you have tried your best throughout your school life. So your HSC results will be delivered via email and text message from 6 a.m. this Thursday, 13th of December, and you'll be able to access your ATAR this Friday, 14th of December at 9 a.m. Now, I mentioned they will be released on the UAC website and the MyUAC app. So when you go to log on, you'll need your Year 12 student number and UAC PIN ready. You'll be able to view your ATAR, a list of the subjects you studied, their category, and the number of units of each course that contributed to the calculation of your ATAR. So make sure you have your Year 12 student number and UAC PIN ready to go to access your ATAR. If you have any questions about your ATAR, you can call the ATAR Inquiry Centre on 1300 MyATAR. That's 1300 692 827. 1300 692 827. The Inquiry Centre will be open for a few days from Friday, the 14th of December. Many of you will be having many inquiries and many questions pertaining to your HSC results or your ATAR for that matter. So if you do happen to have any questions, then don't forget to call the ATAR Inquiry Centre on 1300 692 827. So the million-dollar question, what is an ATAR and how is it calculated? It is very confusing, isn't it? And it's very conflicting. ATARs are your Australian Tertiary Admission Rank. That's what ATAR stands for. And basically, it's a number between 0 and 99.95. And it tells you how you compare with the rest of your cohort. So, in other words, an ATAR of 80 means that you are in the top 20% of students who took the HSC that year. And your ATAR is calculated using your best marks from 2 units of English and the best 8 units of your other subjects studied. Now, marks from different subjects are scaled to compare them, but this scaling does not affect your final mark. According to the university's admission centre, known as UAC, the ATAR is a rank, not a mark, and the average is 70. Also, it's important to note that the school you go to and the performance of your fellow classmates can have an impact on your results, but this has nothing to do with the school itself. School assessment marks are moderated so that different schools can be compared more equally. So I know a lot of you are feeling very stressed about accessing your results, but don't be disheartened, as I mentioned before. If you see a number you don't like, or if you see numbers you don't like for that matter, remember what is important is that you tried your best and you gave it your best shot. Be proud of what you achieved and look forward to a bright and successful future ahead. And that's a wrap on Community Connect for today. Inshallah, I'll be back with you tomorrow, co-hosting with Ola for another enlightening episode of the show. But until the next time I join you, please take care.
أشيائي موجود لكن ليس كما في الكون نرى من أسمائي.